Good evening. Our brother has asked that we'd read from Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Parable of the talents. Starting verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents, behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathereth where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thought that come to my mind is, how are we using the talents that God has given us? Are we choosing to search his word and gain from his word, that we can also show forth that extra, the abundance through him? He wants to give us that abundance. We just pray that each one of us would seek him, and that we would each one desire to gain more from him. Kneeling, let us pray.
How many here would like to hear a story about yourself? I didn't see any hands. Let's say that there are 4 main characters in this story, and you can pick the character that most closely describes you. It's actually the story that Mark read in the opening, the parable of the talents. There is no doubt that this parable applies to us, since we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. In that sense, we are one of the servants in the story who is waiting for the return of his master. Because of how the story ends, the meaning of this parable is very urgent. Most likely, the central question in the parable is this: what do these talents represent? When we learn what these talents represent, we will be better able to understand the meaning of the parable. In biblical times, a talent meant a weight of money. Most likely in today's U.S. currency, it would be equal to maybe well over $1,000 for one talent. So the Lord, when he went away, distributed money among his servants. The talents represent something definite in our lives given to us by God. But as we will discover later in the story, they do not represent our natural abilities. There are four clues that are given that will help us discover what the talents represent. The first one is quite obvious. In verse 14, Matthew 25, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." The Lord in the story is representative of our Lord, Jesus, who has gone away, sent it into heaven, and the Lord in the story, before he left, distributed his goods. Notice the personal pronoun "his" that precedes the word "goods." From this, we know that the talents here represent something that belongs to God, not to the man, not to the servant. It is therefore, in application, something we have, but it's something God owns, and he distributed it to us according to his will. That's the first clue. The second clue is found in the next verse, verse 15. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability," or various abilities. The phrase "to every man according to his several ability" is the clue here. The property that belonged to God is given to us on the basis of our abilities. The money talents in the story, obviously, then, do not represent natural talents, gifts, or abilities. The money talents are issued according to natural abilities, but they are not one and the same. So the talents in the parable are not the abilities, but something that is given on the basis of our abilities. There's a third clue that is implied in the whole story. It's not stated directly, but it's clearly implied. It is that these talents are something the Lord gave in order that they might be invested. With any investment, there's a certain degree of risk and venture. These men were to put the goods to work, earning more. They were to, in other words, risk them or invest them. So far, we have learned that the talents represent in our lives something that is God's property. They are given to us on the basis of our natural abilities, and which can be put to work, invested. Now let's consider one more clue. It's related to the previous one. It is clear from this story that the investment of the talents is made on behalf of the absent master, not the servant. It is something the servant risks to benefit the absent Lord. It's something he does in order to help God. Not that God needs help. The risk is taken by the servant. The benefit will belong to the Lord. The servant is expected to do this without deducting any fee. In today's terms, it would be a broker's fee if you're going to do an investment. So let's review the clues. Something that is God's property. They are distributed on the basis of natural abilities or spiritual abilities. They are something we can risk. And number four, the investment is not for our sake, but for the Lord. Again, the question can be asked, what do the talents represent? Based upon the clues, these talents certainly would be related to opportunities that come our way. Opportunities that God destines for our life. In order to take advantage of these opportunities, it requires that we utilize our abilities. They are moments of faithful decision. When we are confronted with the question of whether we are willing to invest our life and risk the loss of something we want in order that God may have something He wants. That is the issue. Who of us are not faced with that question? The most crucial decision is when you decide, what shall I do with my life? What am I going to live for? For what purpose is my life invested? Should I accept an offer to become involved in an inner city ministry and help the underprivileged for the sake of Jesus Christ? Or should I pursue my dream to be a lawyer and have all the luxury that goes with wealth? To each person, it's always different. There is not one right way to invest, since we have the variables of individual abilities and unique individual opportunities that God sends our way. Perhaps it is the question that may come like this. Should I take Tuesday evenings to invest in a children's ministry that takes time and effort? Or should I spend Tuesday evenings with my friends bowling? I'm not implying that bowling is wrong. But the question is, how shall I invest my time and my energy? It may be the question, should I get involved in helping a brother or a sister in their problems, which seem to be endless and incapable of a solution? Should I try to help him or her with these difficulties? Or should I use the time for reading or studying or maybe something that would benefit me. You know, it's amazing how often moments like these, decision moments, fateful moments that come our way, opportunities. The scenarios I used are only imaginary possibilities. You can plug in your individual opportunities that you encounter, that God has set before your pathway. There is risk in any investment. There is a need for wisdom and understanding and direction. There is reason to exercise caution in making an investment so that we get the greatest return, yet do not squander that which is ours, not ours, but that which is our Master's. These opportunities add up to an investment of our very life. The sum total investment of our life can be made for His sake, or it can be made for our own sake. Keep in mind, how we handle these opportunities carries with them a tremendous level of responsibility and accountability to God. In the story that Jesus shared, He goes on to show that a time of accounting will come. Jesus is coming back. Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. And the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The first man made 100% return on the opportunities given to him. In terms of the application of this to our own lives, it means that here is a man who made full use of his opportunities to risk himself for the Lord's sake. In other words, he put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He risked himself. He took the chance that he might never have the prominence or the influence or the power that he could have had. But instead, he deliberately invested his life to give to God what he wanted. As a result of this investing of himself, he won 5 more talents. In the story, it was money that he invested. To this man, the master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." What is that joy? It's not merely a moment of glory. The joy mentioned here is eternal joy that will never lose its glory. This man enters into a joy that will last forever. Now, take the next man. He also invested 2 talents. Came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold," I can see him handing with excitement, "here's what you gave me. Here's what I accumulated." He didn't stand there with a straight face. I can see his face glowing because he accomplished his best for the Lord. He gained just 2 talents. Is that 50%? No, that 2 is 100%. He gained as much proportionally as the one who had 5 to begin with. He's not as gifted as the other man, but he's equally committed, equally faithful. He has used his opportunities to the full. He has risked himself for the cause of Jesus Christ. To that man, likewise, the Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." We get a picture here of the rewards that are offered. Not everyone gets those rewards. There is not one syllable of difference between what he says to the man with 2 talents and what he says to the man with 5 talents. We may think of Billy Graham, for example, who has great worldwide ministry, even through his son, Franklin Graham. And we think that maybe that when the day of reward comes and the accounting comes from him standing before God, that he will be given some greater reward. I don't think that's so. On that day, there will be little known servants, yet faithful, who will be equal with the prominent servants of God in the rewards they receive. No one may ever know to a great extent what you do in the church and in the kingdom. But if you're given your life for the cause of Jesus Christ, you're giving your all. Don't be discouraged if the amount is small. Based upon your ability, if you're fulfilling the opportunities God's giving, you're doing 100%. Verse 24, we come to the third man. This is the heart of the parable. Then he which hath received 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." I can see him holding out that original talent. It's all there. I'm giving it back. The Lord's response, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed." Some may feel that the Lord was very harsh with this man, who at least had a sense of responsibility to see that his master got back what was his and what was given to him. But the key to this parable is contained in this phrase, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." What does Jesus mean by that? Well, this is kind of related to the basic purpose of life itself. This is why you are here, to increase. Fundamentally, God puts people into the world in order that they may grow and increase. It's a law of life. If life does not increase and grow, it actually is not life, it's dead already. If there is no function. This is true of plants in your yard. If it's not growing, if it's not producing, if there's not green leaves this time of the year or in the near future, it's dead. And you probably cut it down and then burn it. That's true of the animals on the farm. If they're not moving around and growing, and they're still, you get rid of them. They're dead. It's true of you and me as human beings, both physically and spiritually. It's a fundamental purpose of life. If there's no increase, no growth, then there's no reason to exist. And essential to the process of growth in man is redemption. Giving our life on the altar, surrendering what we have to God. How can you grow and fulfill your purpose unless you grow in the totality of your being, body, soul, and spirit? And that is only possible to those who know Jesus Christ. It is He who makes this possible, the fulfillment of God's intention for man. And so he that hath not, he'll be taken away what he does have. And that he has will be given more. Thus, this reveals to us the character of the man with one talent. It is the opportunity we have in life to be reborn, the opportunity to be redeemed, and to give our life in service to the one who gave his life for us. That is a talent, I believe, given to anyone who comes under the hearing of the gospel. He is given the opportunity to risk his life in commitment to the Lord Jesus. One supreme risk was possible to this man, and it was possible all during the time of his master's absence. But how did the man treat it, this opportunity? He buried it. That means he put it out of his sight. He didn't want it facing him. He did not want to look at it. He did not want honestly to face the demands of that opportunity. And he buried it in the ground and he rejected it. Then he prepared a little speech to justify it all when the Lord returned. He probably rehearsed it quite a few times because he knew what was going to happen. And so he stands before his master and in effect, he says, look, when it all boils down to final things, it's your fault. I knew you, knew the kind of man you are. You're a hard, grasping individual. You expect people to do your dirty work for you, but you get all the benefits. You're unreasonable in your demands. If people don't come through with what you expect, you blame them for it. But I've outwitted you. I've got exactly what you gave me. Here it is. You and I are even. Now notice what the master says. He does not argue. He does not debate his own character with the man. He takes the servant at his own appraisal. Luke's account says, out of thine own mouth Why judge you? Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers. Luke's account says, in the bank. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury or with interest. He is simply saying, is that what you thought of me? All right, then why didn't you act on that basis? If you thought that that is the kind of man I am, then surely you would have known that you needed to invest that money. And if you didn't, that it would not be pleasing to me. If you really wanted to be the servant you call yourself, then why didn't you at least put the money in the bank? And let me have the interest when I return. In those words, the Lord makes clear the real problem. The trouble is this man did not intend to be a servant. He was not at all interested in his master's interests. He was interested in his own. He was taking the role of a servant. He appeared as a servant. He took the commission as a servant. And what was given to him, but he was unwilling to fulfill it. He didn't follow through. He was pretending to be what he was not. And when the Lord returned, he simply revealed the hypocrisy of this man. Therefore, he is justified in his judgment. Cast this worthless servant into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's an eternal consequence. He was a phony, and so he was revealed as such. Now, what is the final message of this to us? What is the application we can draw from this story? It is not only that we must be honest in grasping that one great opportunity that comes to anyone who sits under the hearing of the gospel to invest our very life, to risk it for the sake of Jesus Christ. But he's also saying to us, to those with 5 talents, with 2 talents, risk them. Invest them. Live with eternity in view. Venture. Put your opportunities to work for my sake. Do not bottle up your life and try to hang on to it. Lose it for Christ's sake. Give it up. I believe that perhaps, as never before in our lifetime, we are facing times that demand that kind of living. The whole fabric of our society is deteriorating right before our very eyes. Forces of violence and riot and immorality and illogical reasoning are taking over. And what this old world needs is salt, genuine salt, a preserving force, and light to dispel the darkness. Men and women, boys and girls, young people who are serious about giving their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. What do you do with the opportunities that come your way? That will come your way tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and next week and next month and next year. For your own interests, do you spend your time and effort? Or are you ready to risk something for Christ's sake? Here's the appeal of Jesus. Are you waiting for my return? Well, if you are, you are ready to invest your very life for my name's sake. Go forth. Do it. I give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given me strength and grace, forgiveness, to share again this evening. It's been a joy to connect with you. It's the fourth sermon I've preached in 2 days. And I only can do that through the strength of Christ. God bless you.
Challenging message. And if you're like me, you could use improvement. I know I can. So let's all stand as we give thanks.